Okay, well, welcome everybody to our spiritual weather report call for July 2018. It's really wonderful to hear your voices when you call in. I'm listening as you say your names and where you're from, and it's just delightful to hear all of your voices, the people I know, and meeting the new folks who I've never met before. So welcome to you all. It's just delightful to gather like this. And I feel like this is the highest use of this technology, is to be able to gather virtually in a spiritual community. So I welcome you, and Leslie welcomes you. We are in the middle of three eclipses and some very intense astrology and energy. So it is a time full of challenges as well as opportunities. And we've invited a very special guest speaker to be with us today to talk with us a little bit about the astrology. And that's our dear friend Stephanie Austin, who is a master astrologer. Many of you know her. And she'll be speaking with us later on about these amazing times that we're in. I know she has a lot to say. And so, Stephanie, I want to thank you for joining us. You don't need to say anything now. We'll open the mic to you as soon as we're finished with the beginning of the call. And I just wanted to mention that I'm calling in from Athens, Greece, and Leslie is in South Africa right now. I don't know if you're following the news or not, but you may have heard about the intense fires that have been raging here in Athens, and they were put out a while ago, but it was very difficult here, and still is. The energy is very difficult. So we'd like to dedicate today's call to all of the people and the animals and the nature affected by the very intense fires that are happening here in Athens. So many sad stories coming out about the loss of life and homes, etc. So I hope you'll please hold everybody and all the beings affected in your thoughts and prayers. And also, in California, Barbara is in Redding, California, and I know that there's roughly, what did you say, 90,000 acres or something huge is on fire.
Yes.
And you're under threat of evacuation. Would you like to speak about that, Barbara?
I'll just share a little bit, Brad, because I really would like us to be able to get on with this, but I would love all of your prayers and loving thoughts sent this way. It is about 90,000 acres, reaching almost up to Shasta and down to Chico area. I think it's about 100 square miles of fire that's been going on since last Wednesday. And there have been, we really aren't even up to date as to at least 500 buildings are affected. Five people have died that we know of, and this is from a few days ago. So I know that it continues to be updated, we're hoping that the fire it maintains on the western side of Interstate 5. I'm on the eastern side. So right now we're okay, very smoky, very ashy, and we're just, you know, allowing the burn. And thank you for all your love and prayers. Thank you to all the people who have been so kind and loving and reaching out and offering so many prayers and whatever else they can share with us at this time. So just greatly, greatly appreciative. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks for sharing, Barbara, and thank you for hosting the call today. When I talked to Barbara a few days ago, we talked about the possibility of canceling the call because of the threat of a potential evacuation, and fortunately, Barbara has not had to evacuate, so we're all gathered. And Barbara, let's dedicate today's call also to the Redding area and all the people and animals and nature there as well.
Yeah,
so we invite you all to hold Reading and Athens and anywhere else in the world that is experiencing these weather extremes, especially fire. But I know there's flooding too. I was talking mm-hmm. with some friends in Santa Fe, and Santa Fe is a desert, as you know, and they're experiencing flooding. just completely unheard of. It's kind of crazy weather everywhere. So anyway, we'll dedicate today's call to all people, all beings, animals, and nature affected by these weather extremes around the world. So before we start our meditation, I just want to say a few more words for the newer people. I know if you've been on the calls recently, you know I'm here in Greece and Leslie is in South Africa. I'm very happy and grateful to be here. I'm here offering events for the summer and having some quiet alone time to focus on creating Core Light's new website and writing a book. And I'm just so deeply grateful and happy. The water is very supportive for me. So I feel very, very blessed to be here. I'm leading a retreat in Greece at the end of September, September 20th through 23rd. And there's still some spaces available. So if you feel like having a Greek holiday, please come and be with us. There's more details on our events page on our website. And Leslie is very happy to be in South Africa. She has many people surrounding her there right now who are our dear friends. And as I mentioned on last month's call, it was almost exactly a year ago. It was a year ago this month since we sold our house in Santa Fe in the U.S. and relocated to South Africa. And we both love South Africa. And Leslie especially loves the peace and the beauty there. And we talk all the time, and every time I talk to her, she just is so joyful and talks about how wonderful it is to be surrounded by nature and the animals there. And the zebras have essentially become her pets. And Leslie's not going to be speaking, but I know she's giggling right now because she just loves those zebras in our area, and they come to her. So they're very, very fond of her. And Leslie has especially loved all of your visits. Many of you have come to visit us there, and we're very, very happy to receive you. So please consider yourself invited to come and visit us sometime. So as I said, Leslie's listening to our call right now. She has asked me to send you her love and to give you a message. We talked earlier today, and I'm just going to quote because I wrote it down. So she says, "There's an ascension in consciousness happening for the whole planet. I've always known that my job at this very intense time of humanity's transition would be to be somewhere peaceful and quiet and to hold space for all of you and for the Earth." She's referring to everybody in Core Light. She says, "Please know I am here with you, supporting you inwardly. I can only be in silence with all of this. I find it very hard to speak and to function. I can only be. I'm really good at being right now, so I will be with you while you all talk today." And she says, "I miss you and I love you, and I am much closer to you than you might realize." So I hope you appreciate that message. I'll talk a little bit more about what's happening there in South Africa with Leslie and what we're doing there in a little while after our guided meditation. And again, this is for newer people, but if you tune in regularly, you know this. And it is that Leslie has chosen to remain in silence and to give a transmission during our calls. So we invite you to be meditative throughout the call and receive the transmission. It's called Shakti in the East. It's a healing, uplifting energy. And whether you're with us live or listening to the recording, it doesn't matter. We're all part of a field, and we're all connected. And time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension. So we invite everyone to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity and in the heart and in love. And we will all receive this transmission of light that comes through during the call. It's a field. that we're all participating in and that we all generate together, whether or not you're with us live. So we're going to start with our guided meditation, and just a reminder that we're dedicating the call today, especially the meditation and the prayer that we say now, the invocation, to the people and the animals and nature which are affected by extreme weather around the planet, especially by the fires in Athens and in Reading. So I invite you now to close your eyes and get comfortable. And if you might be multitasking, I know sometimes it's essential to multitask, but if you are, this is the time to stop and just be. Give yourself the gift of just being for a few moments. So take some long, deep breaths and just let go. Deeply relax your body. Get very, very comfortable. And however you're sitting, whether you're lying down or sitting, it's best to keep your spine as straight as you can, as long as you're comfortable and can relax. So just continue taking some long, deep breaths. Breathe in the light and breathe out any tension. Breathe in the love, breathe out any stress. Breathe in healing energy and release any worries about past or future. Breathe in and just be present right here, right now, giving yourself the gift of this time that we all take for our spiritual path right now. Time to just be. So continue your breathing throughout this meditation. Long, deep inhales. Long, slow exhales. The breathing activates the vagus nerve, which is a huge nerve that runs from the brain all the way down the spine and throughout the body, and it completely relaxes with the long, deep breathing. So the breathing is very important for relaxation. And if we take nothing else away from today's call, let's take away some deep relaxation, because we forget how important the relaxation is. It's the relaxation that allows us to let go and surrender and connect with spirit, connect with our own core of enlightenment inside us. And it's the relaxation that allows us to feel deep peace inside, which leads to joy. And let's relax all the muscles of the body, starting with the scalp, and visualize a warm liquid pouring down over the top of your head, something like honey, that is viscous and thick, and everywhere it touches, it relaxes the muscles. So feel it pouring over your head, your forehead, relaxing the eyebrows as it pours over the eyebrows, the eyeballs, letting them fall back into their sockets, deeply, deeply letting go, relaxing all the facial muscles, especially the jaw. And let's take a big yawn. Which also stretches those muscles and helps relax them. And relax the back of the tongue. Very important area to relax. If you can relax the back of the tongue, you relax a whole region of head, neck, and shoulders. Relaxing the neck, the shoulders, arms, upper arms, lower arms, wrists, hands, fingers. Relaxing the chest and the upper back, the stomach, lower back, abdomen, pelvis. Upper legs, knees, lower legs, ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply letting go and relaxing. And remember your breathing. Long, slow inhales, long, deep exhales. And do a scan of your body again from head to toes. And just notice if there's any place that's still holding any tension. And breathe light into that place. Let those muscles relax. And breathe out the tension. I'll be quiet for a few moments while you just check your body. And now let's put our attention on the crown chakra. The crown chakra is the top of the head. Imagine wearing a crown and you'll feel where that crown chakra is. It's like a funnel that opens up and out. Feel it like a thousand-petaled lotus on the top of your head, unfolding petal by petal. And feel the light pouring down from above, a rain of golden white light, filling up your crown chakra. Feel the funnel of the crown chakra collecting it, filling up your head and your aura. Your whole body. Feel the golden white light of the celestial realms pouring down. Feel every cell in your body soaking it up like a miniature sponge. Visualize trillions of little miniature sponges in your body soaking up this warm, beautiful, radiant, golden white light. So beautiful. Just allow it to continue filling you up. I invite you to go yin, just go receptive, and let this light fill you up and feel the transmission of Shakti that Leslie is sending us from South Africa, from the bottom of that Milotic meridian that runs from the Giza Plateau in Egypt all the way down the continent. Right to the Blader River Canyon, where Leslie is. And now I invite you to put your attention on the Sushumna. The Sushumna is the core of light that is within each one of us. And it corresponds to the spine. Just, it sits like a luminous tube of light right in front of the spine. So see if you can find that inside yourself. Feel it. and put your attention there. It actually runs beyond the body, above the head, and down below the base of the spine, into the earth a little ways. Just be with that. Hold the crown chakra open and hold your core of light. Feel that core of light now, strong and sturdy, luminous, radiating its light inside you. Feel it like the nilotic meridian that runs down the continent of Africa. It's the Earth's primary meridian. So it's literally like your body and the continent of Africa are merged at the Sushumna. Just feel that. It's okay if you can't feel it. Just set your intention that that's what you would like. The native Africans call it Lilungwa Mangakatsi, and it means the river of gold. And there's literally caches of physical gold all along it. But they call it the spine of the earth, the spine of Africa. And they literally say there's a golden white light that runs like spinal fluid along that meridian of the earth, just beneath the earth. It's a river of light, essentially. So feel that inside yourself. Feel your own river of light as your core. As you hold that, drop your attention down to the root chakra at the base of the spine. And feel the root chakra naturally relax and open when you put your attention there. And then drop your grounding cord down into the earth. All the way down to the center of the earth. Feel yourself connected with Mother Earth. And just relax, relax deeply into Mother Earth. Feel gravity pulling your body towards her. And just let go and allow her to support you from beneath by the seat of your chair or the floor supporting the soles of your feet. Relax into that support. Just like a baby being cradled in the arms of its mother. Take a long, deep breath and relax into this beautiful support that we have from Mother Earth. And while you relax, and feel yourself being cradled and nurtured by our Mother Earth. And while you feel the rain of golden white light pouring down from above, filling you up with light, I'd like to say a prayer and an invocation. And we call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels, ascended masters, all the beings of light who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you into this call. We ask that you please surround us in a bubble, a cocoon of beautiful white light. please guide our call into the highest love and the highest wisdom, that we each may fulfill our soul's highest purpose. We offer our deepest gratitude for the opportunity to be here today, to share our love, to share this time together. And we give thanks to be in these beautiful bodies on this beautiful planet at this incredible time. With deep, deep gratitude. And so it is. And now I invite you to slowly bring your attention back into the room where you're sitting and back into your body. And wiggle your fingers and toes. Slowly begin to open your eyes when you feel ready. Okay. Well, check in with you, Barbara. I just want to.
Sorry, Brad. I don't know why it was muting all on its own. So I missed that last little bit you were just sharing. But thank you for the beautiful meditation. Oh.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you. So I just wanted to make sure that we're audible and everything's okay. Everything looks right.
Yes, yes. Yes, you're coming through. Yep.
All right. I know sometimes we get so expanded with the meditation that not sure what's happening with the technology. I just need to make sure it's working.
Yes.
Okay. So before we launch into today's topic, I just wanted to mention a few things. I was asked, actually, to talk about this. I've talked about it a couple times before, and so please, if you've heard this announcement before, I guess I just invite you to hear it in a new way, because I was requested to talk about this, and it's about our retreat in South Africa in December. It's called On the Way to Leslie. And it's a celebration of the 30th year anniversary of Leslie's enlightenment. It's December 9th through 16th, and it's full, essentially. There's still one or two spaces, but if you feel called to come, we'd love to have you, obviously. I know it's a long way to go. But what I was specifically asked to speak about was just to highlight that this retreat specifically is like it's a pivot point for us, Leslie and me personally, and for Core Light. It's a milestone because, as most of you know, Leslie has asked me to take Core Light forward in a new way, and she's taking on her new role as a sacred artist and spending time in meditation and holding space for everyone as this ascension in consciousness happens, holding space for the earth. It's something that she always knew she'd be doing at this time, and we didn't see the details of it, but it has unfolded as it has, and we can never predict what that's going to look like, of course. But here we are. So we're at this moment, and Leslie's doing what we always knew she would be doing. She is having this experience in South Africa, where she's deeply held by Mother Earth, and she is able to hold space for us and send this transmission of light to us to support us as we go through our own ascension in consciousness. And so at this retreat, we're planning a formal ceremony to mark this milestone in our journeys and in Core Light's journey. And literally, it's going to be Leslie handing me a baton, is the way somebody put it. And I heard several people independent of each other say the same thing, that it's like a baton is being handed. And so there'll be something symbolic in the ceremony about that. And so Leslie and I have talked about this many times, and we've never really spoken about it like this with the community in this way. And so even though we've talked about the retreat, and this is written about in the retreat brochure, I know that not everybody has seen that, and it just felt somehow important that we talk about it as a community. So if you have any questions about it or any sharing about it, any seeing, anything at all, I invite you to reach out to us and tell us. You can write to us or share when you feel like it. So again, you're welcome to join us. If you can't be there physically, please join us in spirit. And that's, again, December 9th through 16th. It's going to be a very special moment. And it will be filmed. So we have a friend from Brazil whose idea was to call it On the Way to Leslie. It's like a pilgrimage to our spiritual teacher. So she's bringing a film crew with her, and they're going to film it, with the intention to make a documentary about it, about Leslie's life and teachings, essentially. It's a friend of ours, a woman who's in the teacher training course, the Enhanced Self-Discovery course, who is an actress in Brazil, and she wrote a play called On the Way to Leslie, which is about Leslie's life and teachings. And so this film, this documentary, would go along with the play. And then just a couple more things to mention before we go into today's topic. I've mentioned before about the Greece retreat. It's called Balancing Masculine and Feminine, The Awakening of the Heart. And again, that's September 20th through 23rd. There is more information on our events page if you'd like to check it out. And I'd love to see you here if you can join us. It's on a beautiful, beautiful island surrounded by crystal clear turquoise water. Very special place. Also, another retreat I wanted to bring to your attention is a South Africa retreat, March 30th through April 16th of next year, 2019. I'll be co-leading that with Ruth Garland, who's on the call with us today, and there's going to be an email announcement about it very soon and a brochure posted on our website, so you can stay tuned for that. And we invite you to, really, with these retreats, I know sometimes they seem out of reach. And many people, I know I'm guilty of this myself, at least I used to be, I'm not anymore, but I used to be guilty of saying, oh, too much time, too much money, too much whatever, too much energy, and, you know, just writing it off. And really, the truth is that if you're supposed to be there, you'll be there. And we've seen this happen so many times over the years where people manifest the time or the money or whatever they need to get to one of these retreats. So we invite you to not just reject it out of hand, but to meditate on it and see if you're meant to be there. And if you have a divine appointment to be there, then open to that and let yourself manifest the trip. We'd love to bring people to South Africa, so please do consider coming to join us in next year, in March, April. And again, you'll be getting an email about that, and there'll be a brochure on our website. I also just want to mention that the next spiritual weather report call, like this one, is going to be in 3 weeks instead of 4 weeks. It's Sunday, August 19th. So we'll also send an email reminder for you about that. And Barbara, your call with the Spiritual Warrior Group, Enhanced Self-Discovery Group, is going to be Sunday, August 26th. That's in 4 weeks' time. So thank you for leading those calls, Barbara, for the students and the graduates. I know how powerful they are. Is there anything you want to say about that?
Thank you so much, Brad. And just to encourage anyone and everyone who feels called, this is such a powerful time of community. And so grateful to be able to be with everyone to process any and all of our limiting perceptions so that we can become more balanced and more clear. So please join us if you feel so guided. Thanks, Brad.
Beautiful, beautiful, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you for leading those calls.
It's my honor. Thank you.
Yeah. So today's topic, the Spiritual Weather Report. I got a really clear message that I wanted to address the issue that's up for so many people right now, for pretty much all of us. It's about the extreme negativity in the world right now, especially in the United States. And, you know, it just seems to be a place of such extremes and so much hate and negativity. So really the question is, what is this about? What's happening with our world? What's happening with our governments and the leadership in the world? You know, we occasionally touch in on this. It's a subject that is really worthy of being talked about all the time, and there's many other more uplifting things to talk about too, so we mainly do that. But it felt really important because what's happening is, if you look at the surface appearance of things, it would be so easy to think that everything's just going to hell, and then to start reacting to that as if that is the reality. And the truth is, that is not the reality. And this is what I wanted to address, how important it is to remember right now that that is not the case. There's so many people on this planet working for peace and love and the higher ideals. Way, way, way more people than we realize, way more than the few people who are behind the negativity and what seems like inhumanity, what is inhumanity. So some of you might remember that we spoke about this as a community right after the U.S. presidential election in November 2016, and we talked about how we're in a very destructive phase right now, and how the new administration was going to be giving us a gift of speeding up that destruction, the destructive energy of this phase. It's like a pendulum that has swung all the way to the far extreme of this cycle. And it's an opportunity for all of us, for the whole world, to experience that extreme swing, and to stand up and say no. You know, no, this is not okay. Inhumanity is not okay. And part of what's happening right now is that our belief in humanity and our belief that there is this dawning of a new paradigm of heart-centered consciousness happening, all of these beliefs are being challenged right now. So it's vitally important for all of us to remember the witness right now. If you're new to CoreLight, I can talk a little bit about the witness. Anybody who's been with us for any amount of time knows what the witness is. The witness is that part of us that is deeply connected to the essence, the soul essence of who we truly are. It's the part of us that observes neutrally and watches the swings of duality, the extremes of the pendulum, swinging back and forth and back and forth all the time, and realizes that that is not who we are. We are not that swinging of the pendulum. We are the pure awareness. We are the light and the love, and we are the perceiver. And these emotional states and these experiences pass through us. If you want more information about the witness, it's in the Marriage of Spirit book that Leslie and I wrote many, many years ago, The Marriage of Spirit. There's a whole chapter on the witness. And so in addition to the witness, one of the most important things to remember right now is that it's just a few people who are pushing the negativity and the inhumanity. It's a very small percentage of the population who are doing this and who are going along with this. And I think, you know, it's easy for a small group to make a big stir. But in reality, there's so many more of us who are here to stand up for humanity and to help usher in this new paradigm of the heart. There are many, many individuals and organizations doing this work. And it's like I feel like the individuals and organizations doing this work are like an immune system for Gaia, for Mother Gaia. We are her immune system, and it's when we live in love and when we put our love into action, when we step into our spiritual activism, we are the immune system that's fending off the viruses of negativity and inhumanity that we're all facing right now. But the media gives us a different picture. The powers that be, or as some people say, the powers that were, who slant the media, they rely on us to react in fear and anger and division and desperation and many negative states. Because when we see the images that are put forth, certain emotional responses are elicited, and that's intentional. And when we live in those negative emotions, such as fear and despair and you know, all the negatives, then we're much more easily controlled. So we have to be mindful right now, be in our witness about believing that we do not want to believe that the world has gone to hell. And we do not want to adopt the attitude of giving up. Because if too many of us take on that way of thinking, then it won't help the movement into the new paradigm of the heart. So it's very important to remember the truth and to not buy into the negativity. Part of why this came up for me to talk about this month, is because I've met a number of people who find the world so challenging nowadays that there's this attitude. It's like an adopted attitude of, I don't want to be here anymore. And, you know, I can't wait for this to be over. And, you know, when this life is over, I'm not coming back. And, you know, that may be true. It may be true that this is the last life that we have here for a while, or forever. But I feel like it's important for us to remember that if we're here, if we're in a body, we're here for a reason. It's not a mistake that we're here. So if we feel that, if we're feeling that attitude of, I don't want to be here anymore, it would be buying into an aspect of what we would call victim consciousness. And if you might be somebody who feels this way, I feel like it's very important that we start to get curious about why we are here and start to ask ourselves, if we haven't died yet, then why is that? Why are we here? What are we here to do? What are we here to do for ourselves, for other people, for the earth? So we can ask ourselves these questions, and we can start to get curious. This in itself is the first step on that journey out of that attitude, out of the victim consciousness. So we start to inquire about more about our purpose. And very often when we do this, we see that it has to do with the challenges that we're facing and the mirrors that we have invited into our lives, the mirrors that are reflecting back to us something that we're supposed to see in us. The challenges are here to remind us that something needs to be healed inside. The challenges are really the gift that we're giving ourselves. They're a gift in disguise. So it's just a part of us stepping in to help ourselves remember. Now, if you're somebody who doesn't have that attitude, if you don't have the attitude of not wanting to be here anymore, then you probably know somebody who's struggling with it. So I'm talking about this because I feel like we all know people like this. Let's face it. You know, there's an epidemic on the planet of people struggling with what's happening, because it is very hard to watch the inhumanity. So it may be important for you to step up and help them, to say something to them that might help them through it. Maybe that's part of your purpose. So we can all start to feel and cultivate our sense of purpose, and we can start to get passionate about it. And if you're somebody who's already living your purpose, then maybe it's time for you to do something to ramp up your own passion about what you do, and then maybe you can start to help others more. You know, there's so much that can be said about this, and I just want to keep track of the time. I want to make sure Stephanie has plenty of time to share because there's a lot going on. So I'm just going to skip ahead. There were a few other things I was going to say, but we can come back to them later. I just want to close on this by saying there's what we can do is make a list of the tools. This I find very helpful, is make a list of the tools in our spiritual toolkit that help us get through a time like this. And we've already named one. One is the witness. Maybe that's the main one. And another one is, I remember Leslie gave this teaching on an audio called The Mystic Warrior. So if you have that, it's a good time to get it out and listen to it again. And if you're new to Core Light and you want to listen to The Mystic Warrior, it's on our website. But she tells this story about it's a story her teacher told her. And it goes like this, that when you're approaching one of your worst fears, you're approaching a gate that's guarded by demons, and the demons tell you everything to scare you, and they say, turn back, because if you walk through this door, you're going to die this horrible death. And they pull every trick in the book to get you to turn around and not go through the doorway. And she said, it's in that moment that you need to remember that you have a card in your back pocket, and the card has always been there. You put it there a long time ago. And so in those moments where you're facing that fear, you pull that card out and you read it. And it says, don't listen. And I love that story. And it's a way to get through the fears we might be facing at this time during these great challenges on our planet. There are plenty of them to face. I remember something Nelson Mandela said about courage. He said, courage doesn't mean that you don't have fear. Courage is recognizing the fear and moving forward anyway. So I feel like this visualization Leslie gave us is really speaking to that. Another visualization Leslie gave us for the witness is the painting by J.M.W. Turner. It's called Ship at Sea, or Ship in a Storm, something like that. And it's of this ship in the waves, in big waves, being buffeted by the wind and the waves. And he captured it so beautifully. And the way that the painter captured that was literally he tied himself to the mast of the ship. And he had the captain sail out into the storm, and he opened his eyes and he just watched all the wind and the rain and the clouds and the sea, you know, swirling around him. And that way he got a good taste of it, and he could go back and paint it. And that's a metaphor. Being tied to the mast of the ship is the metaphor for the witness. So no matter how the sea of this world buffets us, we remember that we are tied to the mast, and we are not buying into the buffeting, to the swinging of the pendulum. We are the pure awareness and the love and the light, and we watch these things pass through us, remembering that they too shall pass. So the last thing is to remember that this is about victim consciousness. We were speaking about victim consciousness. And it's to remember that our role in helping other people out of victim consciousness is to not go down into the pit with them, but to stand on the edge and reach down and help them out. Because the temptation is to jump down into the pit and wallow around in the emotions with the victim. And that doesn't help anybody. It just brings you down. And this doesn't mean not to have compassion and not to feel. Of course, you need to feel the sadness. You need to feel, you know, whatever it is that's passing through you. But you don't have to buy into it and jump down into the pit. You can remain in the witness and stand up on the edge of the pit while you're feeling everything. So I felt like that was important to share, and I know we all have more tools. So I invite you during the sharing time, if you have tools that you'd like to mention, to remind us all of, that would be welcome and helpful. And lastly, I just want to say, you know, it's also so important to remember what an exciting time this is. Even though we're faced with these extraordinary challenges, it's so important to remember what an extraordinary time we chose to incarnate. This is the turning of an age. This is a moment where, you know, we will, as souls, look back on this time, you know, linear 3D time. We will look at this saying, wow, that lifetime was really amazing. I mean, all lifetimes are amazing, but really most lifetimes we can, if you've ever done a past life recall, you can usually summarize the lifetime in a sentence or two, maybe a paragraph. And very often that's all you remember about those lifetimes. But this one is really one for the ages. So I feel like even though we're on this ship that's being thrown or, you know, tossed around at sea, it's so important to remember in the scheme of things, historically, that we're going through a blip, you know, we're going through a blip in time, and this too will pass. These difficulties, they will pass. And it's amazing. It's amazing that we chose to be here for this historic moment. This is a historic moment, maybe in all of human history. And also to remember that we are all needed right now. There's so much that each of us can offer. With all the challenges, with all the extremes, we all have something really important to give. And the greatest gift that we can give is our own awakened consciousness. So I want to end with that. That was something Leslie said a long time ago. She said to us, that's the greatest gift that we can give the earth, our own awakened consciousness. So let's all remember for that as well as we face these challenges. So at this point, we've been on the call for an hour, and I think it's time to open up. Barbara, are you there?
I am here, Brad. Thank you so much for that. And if I may just take a moment to say, you know, that there is a positive and negative side to everything. You know, that's the duality, the polarities that we have been dealing with and processing. And one of the positive sides of the fires burning and the floods happening is that it's a cleaning and a clearing of all that no longer serves, and that the fires are igniting our passion and our creativity. And so while it's, you know, destruction, it's the preparation for the phoenix to rise from the ashes. So I just really wanted to put that in there so that we are not solely focused on the fear side.
Thank you, Barbara.
So yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. And then if I could just add one more little piece here, Brad, as you were sharing about the demons at the gate, I remember so well sitting with Leslie and having her talk to us about this and dealing with our worst fears as we're going through this, you know, dark night of the soul or dark tunnel, you know, with a pinpoint of light and all these demons trying to pull us off center. And she said what we are to say to these demons is, Neti Neti, Tatwamasi. I am not that. I am this. And so when we are willing to walk through the gate, the demons turn into bodhisattvas. Mm-hmm. So I just really wanted to add that in. And also one of the other tools that people might find. Yeah.
Just for the people who are new, Neti Neti Tatwamasi is a Sanskrit phrase. And so it's an ancient technique.
Yes.
And it's really saying, I am not this duality, I'm not this ego, mm-hmm. I am that. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the names of God.
Yes. Good, Brad. Thank you for that.
It's important to clarify that.
It is.
It's important.
Yes.
That we're claiming in those moments when we do that and we say, I'm not this stuff. I am the witness. I am the pure awareness. I'm the perceiver. And I am claiming my own divine self here. That's really what we're doing.
Yes. And one other audio that I might recommend is, I think it's a Grounding, Centering, and Balance, where Leslie talks about being the clay on the wheel. And, you know, unless we're grounded and centered and balanced, the faster the wheel spins, the more likely we are to get thrown off the wheel.
Right.
So that's another one of the images that she talked about for us to stay.
That's a good metaphor.
Yes, and this grounded and centered. And if anybody's ever worked with clay or pottery on the wheel, you know how you work that clay and work all of the imperfections and air bubbles out of it so that as the wheel goes faster, the clay stays very grounded and centered and is made into this pot or this vessel. So I think that's a wonderful image for us to have as well.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara.
So I'm not sure when you wanted Stephanie to speak, Brad. Is this a good time for Stephanie to share what is happening with the astrology? Okay, wonderful. Let me get to you, Stephanie, and unmute you. I know you're here somewhere. Here you are, Stephanie.
Yes,
you're unmuted. Here you are. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome.
Thank you, and thank you both for those beautiful and crucial reminders. In essence, astrology is one quick way or very deep way to be reminded of the bigger picture as a language of energy, as a reminder of our connectedness with all that is, that we're not separate from anything, the stars included. And so, yes, there's so much we could say. A reminder, we all know, we've all heard of the Mayan calendar, the age of Aquarius. You know, there are other ways to describe this dimensional shift that we're in the middle of. You know, Terence McKenna's Time Wave Zero, many Hopi and Pueblo and other Native peoples' prophecies. Many have prophesized that have identified that we're in transition to becoming a whole new species from Homo sapiens to Homo galacticus or Homo universalis or other names that represent this shift in consciousness. So, yes, when things seem to be going down into these deep, dark places, it really is, I think, the darkest hours before dawn where we're having to see the shadow and bring the light to the shadow, as you all have described and what Leslie has taught us for decades now. So more to take it to what's happening right now, we're in the midst of a series of eclipses. Those are, in essence, extra powerful new moons and full moons. Every month, of course, we have a new moon and a full moon, but only about every 6 months do the sun, moon, and earth align more precisely. And and forming kind of a funnel of energy that help transmit or transduce cosmic energy. You know, we're constantly being bathed in an electromagnetic field, our own electromagnetic field. Each one of our organs and cells is electromagnetic. Our Earth has its electromagnetic field, its magnetosphere. Our solar system has its magnetic field. And then we're receiving energies constantly from other star systems, from the galactic center, from many sources. And the more that I study astrology, the more I realize I'm like, you know, the fable of the blind man and the elephant. Each one is holding a different part of the elephant and only able to describe, you know, the trunk or the tail or the leg. And I feel like I have one toenail that I'm able to describe here. There's so much more. But essentially, there's a lot going on that astrology is beyond even what astrology can describe in terms of galactic stimulation that we're receiving. From solar flares, from coronal holes, and so on. But what we can say about these eclipses is that they are initiations. They are opportunities to go to the next octave, to the next level. Every month on a new moon is an archetypal time to set new intentions. You know, it's a completing of one small cycle and the initiation into the next. Every 19 years, we get a more major opportunity to make an ascension in consciousness. And then, of course, with these larger cycles, the age of Aquarius represents a 26,000-year cycle. And on an even greater cycle, if you want to use a Mayan calendar, where we have completed a 14-billion-year cycle, which is the time that our scientists give for the creation of our universe itself. So it can be quite mind-blowing, and rightfully so, to think of these huge cycles that we're all constantly participating in. And to make that journey, someone once said that the longest journey we make is the 6 inches from our head to our heart, that we are, in essence, coming back to remembering our interconnectedness, our interdependence, our true nature. And these eclipses are very powerful opportunities to shed old programming, to do deep healing work, to release what is no longer serving us in our evolution. The first one in this series of three was in the sign of Cancer on July 12th. We had a solar eclipse in the sign of Cancer, which is the archetype of the feminine. And Pluto, the archetype of transformation, the underworld, the shadow, was directly involved in that particular eclipse. And for me, that signaled the importance of the reclamation and rebalancing of the masculine and feminine. And it's interesting, Brad, that your next retreat, you know, what you mentioned, those few words of rebalancing the masculine and feminine and then the awakening of the heart, that I think is the key to these three eclipses. The first one is about the feminine. The second one was about our masculine, how we use the masculine energy. And the third is about the heart. So that's, in a nutshell, would be the gifts of these approaching, or these energies that we're actually in the midst of right now.
Wow, we just had beautiful. Thank you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you. So the second one that we just had remember how long it was. Friday, I think we had the 27th. Yeah. Just 2 days ago, we had the second of those eclipses. That was a lunar eclipse, an extra powerful full moon in the signs of Leo and Aquarius. And Leo, essentially, you know, we think of the association of the heart, of the lion, the courage of a lion. It's symbolized by the lion. And so Leo is the archetype of discovery, or self-discovery with the capital S, remembering and living our lives from love, for love, and with love, from the heart, from our core, from our essence. And Aquarius, the sign of collective consciousness, of our awareness that we are part of a larger whole, the family of humankind. The metaphor of being the soloist would be the lion, or the Leo part, and Aquarius would be the chorus. Each one of us has a voice, has a particular combination of unique skills and gifts and talents to offer. And to be able to add our voice to the chorus, to be able to sing in harmony with all beings, would be the essence of the Leo Aquarius eclipse. to find our gift and to share it and to collaborate, to come together like we do on these calls and in many other ways. The one coming up on August 11th is another solar eclipse. This one is going to be in Leo. And interestingly enough, it's going to be also just the day before Leslie's birthday, of course. Astronomically, it is conjunct your sun. So whenever there's an eclipse close to one's birthday, it represents a special time, a special opportunity, and a readiness to take even a greater step forward on our path. For all of us in Leo, and many of us have Pluto in Leo, anyone born in the late 40s and much of the 1950s was born during a time when Pluto was in Leo. A whole generation of baby boomers that took on that task of transforming the self and the paradigm of the heart, wanting to be a part of the vanguard, as Leslie has told us many times, of coming in, like you said, at this time on the planet, Brad, to be a service, to make a difference, to help this dimensional shift. So these eclipses are very intense. They run in 19-year cycles, actually, and actually in longer cycles called acereal cycles. But 19 years is one that we can definitely work with. So for everyone to think back to what was important to you in 1999, because that was a year when there were eclipses at very similar degrees in the zodiac. So something from that year is now cycling around to either complete or go to the next level. It could be a way of being, it can be a job, a relationship, a pattern in our lives, or any variation or combination of that. But something from that year is now coming to full circle and needing to go to the next level or to be released. So that's part of the intensity of this time that we're, I like to call it scraping the bottom of the karmic barrel, where we're getting to the dregs, getting to the toughest stuff. And again, the darkest hours before the dawn, you know, the harder to, we've done what we can so far. And so what's left is the really sticky, tarry stuff. So like Brad has beautifully described, not to be discouraged, but to remember our power. This is a lot about empowerment and releasing the victimhood tyrant constellation, recognizing that the greatest power in the world is the power of the heart, power of love, the power of truth, the power of light. And I wanted to offer just a couple other things that that we can do. When I hear the news now, I take that as an opportunity to make a prayer, to offer a blessing, rather than going into fear, to use that as a trigger of what can I offer in terms of my light and my love to that situation. And that's a very powerful way to stay out of victimhood, to know that we can always, always offer our prayers and blessings, to pray for President Trump, that his heart may be healed and opened. And yes, like for all the animals and the people that are losing their lives and the fires and any of the many tragedies and difficulties that are going on. And to remember that our news, quote unquote, from the major media is a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of what's happening on the planet. Right? That there's much more. And if anyone wants other news sources, if you don't have access, there are many other sources of news available on the internet that offer a much brighter and broader scope of what's going on, all the good works that are happening, you know, the thousands of organizations that are working for good, you know, to do good things on the planet, and the millions of kind deeds that happen every day in life. So to remember that what we focus on, we increase, that consciousness is like a light, like a flashlight, and it will illuminate what we turn it toward. So wanting to use our light to and empower and enliven and support life rather than to feed the darkness and the destruction. And to nourish ourselves, of course, in this process, in these challenging times. And basically, I think it all sums up in one word, to remember. Remember who we really are, remember why we came, and what we can do from our hearts. So that would be a nutshell. Were there some particular areas of questions you wanted me to speak on beyond that, Brad? I'm happy to speak as little or as much as would be helpful.
Well, no, Stephanie, you've really spoken well to it. I was specifically interested in these eclipses because it seems like such an unusual thing to be in the midst of three eclipses. Mm-hmm. And you spoke to that very well. But I think if we open up to questions and sharing now, and maybe other people will have questions for you, Stephanie, if you're, are you able to stick around for
sure.
the call?
Sure, yes, yes, I'll be here for the call. Uh-huh.
Okay. Barbara, is there anything that...
Could I just add one more thing? As some of you know, I do a newsletter. Just before every new and full moon, I write an astrology update, which describes as best I can the energies that are coming up and how to work with them consciously. And it's available by subscription, but I'm most happy to send it to anyone, regardless of whether they want to subscribe or not. So if they want to email me, my email is Stephanie.
How to get in touch with you.
Okay, so Stephanie with a PH, Stephanie at ecoastrology.com, ecoastrology.com. That's my website, ecoastrology.com, and I'm happy to send that to anyone as a support for these times.
Beautiful, Stephanie. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us, and I know it takes a lot of time to do those newsletters, and you do such a brilliant job at them. So
thank you
for all your service that you offer.
Thank you. I'm blessed.
Love.
Blessed I can do my, it's my Dharma, and I feel very blessed I can do it. Thank you.
Barbara, I was going to say, is there anything that you would like to ask Stephanie before we open up to questions and sharing?
I think Stephanie has done just an exquisite job, and I would highly encourage everyone to connect with Stephanie, and at the very least to get this astrology reading for this time, but I would highly encourage you to sign up with Stephanie. It has been so incredibly helpful for me. I have connected with Stephanie over these past many years and have had numerous readings with her, and Stephanie just has the most wonderful, generous heart, as you can all hear today. And even though it's only a fingernail, the fingernail is so wise. So I just would highly encourage everyone who feels guided to connect with you, Stephanie. Thank you so, so much. It's just really important for each and every one of us to have a touchstone at this time. We've been so isolated. Our patterning has been to be isolated, to be negative, to be addicted to negative thinking. And so we need each other. And Stephanie, one of the things that you said in your report for this middle of the three eclipses is a shifting from me to we. And I was so grateful to be on the call with everyone today. It's just so important for us to reach out when we're feeling really stuck or pull down the downward spiral, the negative spiral into the pit, as Brad was talking about earlier, that we ask each other for help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really the gift right now, that, you know, we felt so isolated and so alone for so long, and for us to come together and mm-hmm. see the exquisite mirror in each other. So I just really wanted to share that. And thank you so much, Stephanie, for all that you do and for being on the call with all of us today. It's just mm-hmm. so incredibly helpful.
I'm glad, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Open up.
Yes. And, you know, yes, let's open up for questions. And to remind everybody, it's star 2 to raise your hand. And I'll be able to open up the mic for you. So if any of you have any questions or comments or concerns about what has been shared right now, please press star 2. And there's a couple of comments on the web that I'd like to read. And just very quickly before I do that, I just would like to share with all of you that in the midst of these fires, by the way, the sun is coming through for the first time today, right now, because the smoke has been so thick. And on Thursday, the smoke was so thick, it was almost as dark as night. And I think that was right when the eclipse was happening. And the sky glowed orange all day and all night. And then the night before last, and like you, Stephanie, I can't remember my days and times. I think it was Friday night. I went to take the dog out about 11:30 at night, and I was drawn to look up at the sky. And even though there were no stars or anything, the moon shone blood red.
Mm-hmm.
It was so incredibly spectacular that Spirit gave us a window into the night sky. And the same thing happened again last night. So two nights in a row I've seen this amazing blood red moon, even though the smoke has totally filled the sky. So I just wanted to share that with everyone. It just feels so auspicious, so profound, what we're going through right now. So Christina from Germany says, "Hi, Brad, thank you for your words. You're absolutely right. It is really necessary to help the struggling people. But how can I help somebody if they don't want to? The people are listening, but then they go ahead as before. This is so sad, and it is not easy to remain loving and try to help. What to do? How to, quote, kill the demons of them. Greetings from Camino, Christina."
Great question, Christina. Christina is somebody that I met when walking the Camino in Portugal a few months ago. And it's a great question for not just for Christina, but for all of us, because we all know people in that place, don't we, who are having troubles. We see the troubles. We have compassion for them. We want to help them, but they essentially don't want to be helped. So in those situations, you really you can't do anything. You can't say anything to them by offering advice, because they'll just reject it. So and there are many things you can do, though. You can pray for them, for sure. You can use them as a mirror, and you can look at what parts of yourself need to change. That's always very helpful, because what I find is that when I'm confronted by somebody like that, I see something in myself that needs to be healed. And then by processing myself, when I clear it, I open a doorway in consciousness for that person to walk through. So it's actually the greatest gift that we can give that person is not by offering them advice. It's by healing ourselves. The stuck place is often something that we're needing to see. Does that make sense? She can't answer, but Barbara,
yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, okay, it good. Does, Brad. And thank you so much, because it's what I do is I ask myself, what part of me is it that, doesn't want to be helped? And just right. to say hello to that part and feel yeah. into that part and feel what the emotion is under that. There might be frustration or anger or, disappointment or devastation or whatever it is, and to get into the feeling sense of that. Because it's, as you said so beautifully, Brad, it's being mirrored back to us for some good reason. And so to see if it would be okay to love all those parts. So that's beautiful, Brad. Thank you.
Yeah. And, at a certain point, sometimes if you're praying for the person and you process yourself, very often what happens is you get an intuition, here's something you can say to that person. And mm-hmm. it's not advice, but you might be asking them a question, or it's just saying something simple like, I see you're in pain. And if you ever yeah. would like help, I'm here for you. And it might yeah. be just at the right moment, or they might see that since you've cleared yourself in that area, you're the one they could go to for help, and then you have mm-hmm. to wait for them to come to you. But
yes.
but through the prayer and the personal processing, you open doorways that you can't fathom how it might help that person.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Brad, and thank you, Christina. That was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Christina.
Yeah, we've got another comment on the web from Linda, and she says, thank you, Brad. I'm just noticing that I quickly tire. There's so much that's painful and worrisome. I find I need time away from listening/seeing what's going on and still not very good about doing what I know I need to take care of myself. Asking what my purpose is at this point is a good idea. We'll work on that with fairly recent retirements that are tools, natural beauty, humor, processing, community. And she says, thanks, Barbara, for the netty, netty reminder. So those are great, Linda. Great tools.
Yeah. Thank you, Linda.
And I know that we can all relate to that. And it really is a lot about nurturing ourselves. We cannot give what we don't have. And so if we are ourselves depleted, there's nothing we can offer. So we need to fill ourselves, and self-nurture and self-care is so critical at this time.
And, you know, it's just one thing.
Wait, Brad, I can't hear you. You need to put your mic up.
How's that? Is that better?
Oh, that's better. Thank you.
Sorry.
There you
I'm
are.
Holding the mic, so it's almost touching my lips now.
Yes.
This is an exercise that I came across a couple weeks ago. I was watching somebody on TED Talk or YouTube or something, and it was a little technique that you can use to find your purpose.
Mm.
And I'll share it with you. It's quick and easy. You ask yourself three questions. Number one, if you knew you were going to succeed at whatever you did, what would you do or be? Number two, if you knew you had $100 million in the bank, what would you do or be? Number three, if you knew you only had 6 months left to live, what would you do or be? So give that a try, you know, in terms of if you want a little exercise to help you find your purpose, journal about the answers to those three questions.
Mm. You know, we have so been futurizing everything, you know, we were taught from a very young age, you know, to project out into the future. And, you know, when I have this, you know, when I have that, when this happens, when that happens, then I'll do X, Y,
right.
and Z. And we're so being pulled now into the present moment. So those are wonderful questions to ask ourselves.
Yeah.
It truly is a gift, even though it may not feel like it. We're just all being pulled into this now moment.
That's right.
So we've got a couple of hands raised, Brad, and the first one raised is Carol. Carol, you have the mic.
Thank you, Barbara. My head's kind of spinning. I hope this is recorded because there's such a wealth of information here. And my question
yes.
is back to Stephanie, and this may be too broad of a question. I may have to contact her on email, but it sounded like the language and the symbols that she was using were Western astrology, which I resonate with. And I keep hearing about the Vedic and how it's really more truthful and all that. And I was wondering if she could just speak briefly to that, or if indeed I do need to talk to her privately, or she can refer me to something.
Am I on?
You're
okay.
Unmuted, so you can
Thank
talk.
You. Sure. No, I'd be happy to speak to that. When I began studying astrology, I explored many different kinds. Every culture has its cosmology, its astrology, its way of describing its relationship to the universe. So there's Vedic, there's Chinese astrology, there's Tibetan astrology, there's Mayan astrology, and so on. And I explored all of them to some degree. And then I realized I felt guided to, since I was born in a Western culture steeped in Greco-Roman archetypes, that made the most sense to me. And for that reason, and for another reason, at that time in my development, I wasn't finding anyone from the Vedic tradition who was using it in an empowering way. It felt very predictive mm-hmm. to me. It felt very limiting. and it didn't resonate for me. So I was drawn to what you could call an evolutionary approach to astrology, where it's used as a map of our karma and our dharma, where it describes what we came in with, our samskaras, our patterns, but also our gifts and what we can share. It was like a roadmap for our spiritual journey. And so that's what resonated for me, and that's how I hold it and work with it. So yes, I work with what would technically be called Western tropical astrology, but there are many systems, and ultimately I think any tool depends more on the consciousness of someone using it than the tool itself. A hammer right. can destroy or create. So I always encourage people to explore what they're drawn to. If Vedic astrology calls to you, by all means study that. It's a very ancient, I mean, it's thousands of years old. It comes from a very deep spiritual tradition. Some of that has been lost over the years, but is being recovered. So it all works, you know, whether it's Vedic or any other kind of astrology, can be very helpful if we use it in an empowering way.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Carol, for that question.
Yeah, thank you, Carol.
Okay. The next hand raised is Paula. Paula, you have the mic. You may be muted on your side, Paula. Can you? We still can't hear you, Paula. So, I don't know, maybe you. Well, oh, okay. Then I guess we'll get back to Paula later. And so the next hand is, I believe, Tom or June. You have the mic.
Hello, it's June.
Hi, June.
Hi.
Hey, June.
Hello, Brad. I just, two things. The first one is that in these, you know, very strange times that we're in, sometimes unprecedented times. What I keep reminding myself about is this is the patriarchy's last stand. And they're not going to go down without a fight. And that's, I mean, the chaos that we're experiencing is they're trying everything in their arsenal to keep the spin going. That's why the media is involved. It's to keep the spin going. And as soon as you buy into it, they're happy. But when you look at it and go, oh, yeah, it's that same old stuff. Yeah, I'm not going to buy into that. Then it's one more soul, one more person, one more part of the energy that gets pulled from it. And because it's all they know. Chaos is all they know. And it's they've made a very comfortable place for that where they leave others in the dust, they hog all the resources, and they want to keep it. You know, if you're the top dog, how would you want to not keep that going? And so they're just trying everything in their might. And if we recognize the things, you know, one more law that's being changed or one more this, one more that, when we recognize it for really what it is, it's like it's just another ploy to try to buy into the fear that Brad talked about earlier. And it really is to keep those fears alive, keep the spin going. And I've recently had some professional things happen to me at work that I've been promised promotions and then it didn't happen. And promised promotions and it didn't happen. And they're like, oh, now we're going to take it away. So it's been this real push-pull with it. And I thank my lucky stars that I am part of this wonderful warlike community because my org group has really saved my ass this last month. And I cannot be or express my gratitude deeper for them and for this community because I got caught in the spin of it. And it was like, oh, and I finally have gotten clarity over it, where it's like, oh, this is just a spin. It's to buy into this thing about I need to be here at this time and doing this and doing that. And, you know, the only way to make money and the only way to do a certain thing. And it was like, I don't actually have to do any of that. And right now, I'm you know, I have a 9-to-5 job, and it's where I'm supposed to be at the moment. But I don't have to buy into the idea of a hierarchy and being this and making this amount and having this and doing that. And because, again, it's all part of that belief system that they want us to perpetuate, that I'm not going to be part of anymore. And getting on this path, doing this work, already answers that question. It says, I'm not going to be part of that. So it's just recognizing when we get caught up in it. It's like, oh, that's them playing another angle. That's them doing another thing that, you know, they haven't presented it that way. And so the ego, looking for that easy roadmap, thinks, oh, this is the way. And it's like, no, not the way. Okay, I just got to turn around. That's all right. And of course, society tells us that's not all right. But it really is. It's just like, oh, okay. And that's another one of the tools in the toolbox. It's like,
yes.
Oh, wrong direction, turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm just super grateful for the awareness and for the support and love that I feel every day from this community.
Mm.
That was it. That was my share.
Beautiful.
Thank you, June. Beautiful sharing. It's funny, June, you were talking about the last dance of the patriarchy, and I skipped over some of the things I was going to talk about tonight, and one of them was I remembered reading a book long ago called The Last Waltz of the Tyrants.
Oh, that's great.
So I was going to talk about that, so I'm glad you brought it up, because it's such a great image, you know, and the corruption of our times is so extraordinary that it's just become surreal. And
mm-hmm.
we could never, ever have imagined how bizarre this would get. And I feel like that's so important to remember that, you know, it's a passing phase. It's not, this is the last gasp or the last waltz or whatever you want to call it, but it's passing.
That, you know, the image that I got, Brad, when you said that was those 1940s and 50s dancer songs where they would, you know, be dancing and just sleeping on their feet, literally. And, but it was just to keep going, just to keep going. And it's like, no, you can't. Eventually, it all wears itself out.
Yep,
that's beautiful, June. And, you know, I'm seeing the image of the great GPS in the sky, you know, spirits letting us know you've made a wrong turn. Do a U-turn when it's safe to do so. So that's just so beautiful. And the other piece that came through clearly while you were sharing, June, is how we have gotten our energy in the past. And if any of you have read Celestine Prophecy, they talk about he talks about control dramas and how we learned to take the energy from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Leslie taught many, many years ago about going God direct. And I think when we get caught in the spin, if we can remember to go God direct and not try to get our energy from anywhere else, that will free us from the spin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful, Barbara. Thank you.
Yes, and thank
beautiful.
You. Thank you, June, for sharing that. And I'm so happy for you, June, that you're getting such clarity and that you have so much support from your Golden Orb group. To feel so held and so loved is what we're wanting and needing as we go through these very intense times. So I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, the community is such a gift right now. I'm just so grateful for the Core Light community. And I would say to anybody who might be new on this call. And you,
sorry,
you
Brad, but
we
need your mic.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying that the Core Light community, I give such thanks to the Core Light community. It's so powerful to have spiritual community. And I just wanted to say for anybody who might be new to the call, perhaps you have your own spiritual community already, but if you don't, Find one, you know, find a place where you have people of like mind. Leslie used to call it keeping the company of the holy. And it's a way of surrounding yourself with people you admire, people you want to aspire to be like. And it really, your vibration starts to resonate with those people. So very important in these times.
Thank you, June.
Thank you.
Thanks, June.
Okay, so we're going to try Paula again. Paula, I have unmuted you and you have the mic. Are you there?
Yeah, you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Yay.
Hi, Paula.
Hello. So I have been following some very interesting conversations on the structure of our society, and the thing I've gleaned from it is mammals and even vertebrates have been hierarchical for 3 million years. We have a structure of society, and it's bringing light into that structure. It's not like destroying the patriarchy, but bringing light and justice and humanity into the ongoing structure of how we interact together. I just think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
That we need to take care of the hierarchy so that it works for everyone. That's really it's not about labeling it, or it's about keeping it clean, keeping it functioning, putting our love and our energy into it. And as Brad said, people all over the world locally are working to do their part. So that was my idea.
Oh, it's beautiful, Paula. Thank you. Yeah, I totally agree with you about that. And I also feel like in terms of structures, you know, when we think of hierarchy, we think of a pyramid shape, and there's one person at the top who's in control. And I think the new paradigm form is more like a circle, where we are all considered equal, and we all have an important role to play. And what it doesn't mean is that there's, it doesn't mean that there's no decision making that happens, or there's not some efficient way of making, making projects move forward or what have you. So I feel like new structures are going to be merging as the old system falls apart and the new one is birthed. You know, we haven't been shown what that looks like yet, but I feel it's going to come. And like you said, I don't feel like it's about, attacking and killing the old system. You know, it's very nicely destroying itself. We don't really have to do that. And so I feel like our role is to really start building the new system. Our role is to put our energy and our love into the things that we want to see grow.
Please go away, please.
Uh-oh, she agrees.
Yeah, she's trying to put her two cents in.
Yeah, what he said.
I just wanted to say that the other unending kind of thing is that there's people that like structure more, and there's people that like open equality more, and it's a kind of we have to listen to each other.
Yeah.
We have to listen to everyone. And so I just don't know what else to say, but because it's hard to listen, because we don't get to hear each other's voices, we just get to hear people who own the airwaves. But that was the other thing.
Yeah. I feel that'll be changing, you know, as the old system crumbles. There's a new one that's being born, and the truth is we've already got the internet, you know, and the internet is a way that can happen, that everybody can have a voice. not in the current form, you know, that it'll continue in its current form, but that's a technology that can be used for that.
That allows us to share our opinion while respecting each other so that we can truly listen.
Yes, that's so important, really.
Beautiful, Paula. Thank you for bringing that.
I just want to say, Barbara, the hard conversations, the ones we don't want to have, those are the ones we need to have. Yeah. Okay. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you,
Paula. Thank you so much, Paula. So appreciate your input. Okay. And we have another comment on the web from Margaret. And she's got a couple of comments here. And she, first of all, says, how to share our gratitude for all of the loving light, wisdom, love, and support. And thank you, Brad and Leslie, for all you are and all the love. And she also asks the question, what all do we know about Homo galactic species?
Wow, that's a good
question.
So she's
asking you two questions, how to share our gratitude,
No, go ahead, Barbara, sorry.
Sorry, how to share our gratitude for all the of all the loving light, wisdom, and support, and then this other question of what do we know about Homo galactic species?
Stephanie, would you like to address part of that question?
Sure. Just real briefly, the first part, I think the best way I know to share my gratitude is to pay it forward to when I receive grace, if I can, you know, offer a helping hand to someone else, that's the best way to go. Homo galactus, that's a big question. There's been many channeled works around how our very structure is being changed from a carbon-based system to a crystalline-based system, and how our DNA, you know, we have a lot of what's called junk DNA. Our science doesn't know about 97% of what our DNA actually does, and so they call it junk. So we have capacities that are encoded in that DNA that have been, according to many sources, unhooked or deactivated, and those are now coming online again with these transmissions from other star systems and other sources. So if they want to email me, I can send them some sources on that. I don't know. I'm no expert on that. I only know what I have read from other sources. But essentially, it makes sense. As we're making a shift in consciousness, our bodies have to change as well. The hardware has to be upgraded along with the software. So we're all being recalibrated, and that's one of the effects of these eclipses. That's why they're so powerful, is they change the electromagnetic field of the Earth and the field of each one of us. You know, we're swimming in this sea of ionized particles coming from the sun, coming from the stars, you know, and they affect the magnetosphere of the Earth and each one of us as well. So the magnetic field of the Earth itself is weakening, allowing more cosmic rays to penetrate the Earth. And that's another reason for the changes that we're experiencing, both on a conscious level and on a physical level with all the Earth changes. Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yes. And, you know, just one more reiteration of the fires, you know, the alchemy that is happening as you were sharing, Stephanie, about the, you know, the transformation or the transmutation, you know, of the physical is this, you know, alchemy that's happening. And if we are willing to stand in the fire and allow what no longer serves to be burned away and make this fertile ashen ground for this new Homo galactic species to be born. So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Okay, so we have one more hand raised. Yeah,
Barbara,
did you want to say something, Brad?
Yeah, before we move on, I just wanted to say one thing about the first part of that question around gratitude. There's a technique that I started using a few weeks ago, and I really like it, so I thought I'd share it. And that is, as you're falling asleep in bed at night, you know how you're normally thinking all kinds of random thoughts. While you're in that state, instead of thinking random thoughts, focus specifically on three things that you are grateful for. Name three things. It can be anything. It could be just three things that happened that day or three bigger things in your life, but name at least three things as you're falling asleep that you're grateful for. And what you'll find is that you sleep better because you're putting yourself into a higher vibratory state at a very important moment. As you're falling asleep, it's like you're giving yourself a post-hypnotic suggestion, so to speak. So you sleep deeper, you raise your vibration, and then when you wake up, you feel better. You're more grateful for your life. That's my experience, anyway.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful, Brad. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have one more hand, and that is Pat Lemke. Pat, you have the mic.
Thanks, Barbara. And I just wanted to say thanks to Brad and Leslie for all of the holding of light that you've done over the years, and to express a request for some light support for myself. I seem to be having an issue with my spine, and I wanted to thank Brad, especially for his meditation, his guided meditation this morning, which reminded me that the core light that we understand and know is in direct relationship to our body, spine, and our God direct connection. And as I sit with that, it helps, but I'm still, I'm still not quite clear of it. And so I just wanted to say, again, thank you so much, and thank you for the community. And I have also a long time established community with the Unity people here, in which I do a lot of praying with and for people. And so I'm just asking you to help me particularly, and to help me know that I can let go of things that I thought I needed to do, that I'm carrying around, that I maybe just need to reexamine, and just support me as I process this, please. Thank you.
We absolutely will, Pat. I'm so sorry to hear that you're in pain. I can feel that you're in pain and hear it in your voice. So we'll certainly keep you in our prayers. Would you like us to add you to the Core Light prayer circle list?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, and for anybody on the call, if you would like to be part of the prayer circle, send your name and email address to us and just tell us that, and then you'll receive the whatever emails go out asking for prayers, and you can also submit prayers. So, Pat, we'll be submitting you to that list. It's a very powerful group of people who pray. And I've had a lot of feedback from very sensitive people who tell us how powerful those prayers are. So
Thank you, Brad. I've been actually praying with the prayer circle, too, since its beginning. So I know
fantastic. How
well it works.
Fantastic. I'm so glad. Pat, the spine represents flexibility in life. And so you might be getting a message, your body might be speaking to you about something to do with flexibility. I don't know if that feels like it applies to you, but I know for myself, I have lower back issues, I have shoulder issues, and whenever they flare up.
Mike, the mic, Brad.
Now I've got it so close to my mouth. Is it not working
properly?
How's that? Is that, is that better?
Oh, yeah, here you come.
Better?
Yes, please.
Okay, it's touching.
We don't
want
to miss a word you have
now.
To say, Brad.
Sorry. No, I'm glad you interrupted me. Sorry. I was just saying that I also, my body speaks to me through back issues. And so I speak, from experience that you know, a lot of it has to do with flexibility, with feeling lack of support, maybe needing to be more flexible, you know, carrying burdens on our shoulders. You've probably done this, but it's always whenever we have body issues, it's the body speaking to us to say, you know, here's a process, here's a place where we need change. So is that something you're working with?
It is. But thank you for recognizing that and supporting the process for me.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, Pat.
Thank you. You know, I did consult a physician because my husband, a longtime husband and friend, wanted me to do that, and it was, you know, it isn't really my inclination to go that way, but the things that were suggested didn't seem to be very workable, I'm going to say. Didn't seem like like something that was going to do anything for me. So I did do it.
Yeah.
Just
I get it. You know, surgery sometimes is great, and other times it's really, you know, somebody trying to sell you something that's not necessarily going to help you.
Yeah. So, well, when they started talking about a $200 ointment to rub on the extended parts of my legs that were hurting, I was like, this isn't making sense. I mean, it just isn't making sense. So, and you know, just as it turns out, the universe made it possible for me to sit with you today because I can only sit at the moment. And so it's like, here I am.
Oh, sweet. Well, we're going to be wrapping you up in light and sending you love, Pat.
Yeah. Thank you.
For the healing of your spine. Yeah.
I'm so grateful you're here today to be able to receive, Pat.
So am I. And I have a granddaughter and grandson who live in Reading, so I'm praying for those people and you guys there, too.
Yes, thank you, Pat.
Yeah. And
thank
I know,
you, Pat.
I know God's got it all.
Yes, we're in those loving hands being held.
Yeah. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Pat.
So, Barbara, I'm looking at the time, and I'm realizing that we need to complete now. So, if there are any hands left, what we might do is we might invite you to come next month and share or ask questions next month if you didn't get to share or ask your question.
Well, please reach out to us, too, if you'd like to send an email and connect. You're more than welcome to send me an email. I would be happy to connect with you between now and then.
And Barbara can be reached at courses@corelight.org. And so let's just conclude by, Stephanie, do you have any final comments you'd like to share as our guest speaker today?
One thing that might be helpful, too, for people that live in the United States is to know that countries have charts, just like people have charts of their karma and their dharma. And the United States is going through some pretty major Pluto transits. Many of us have heard of the Saturn return, which happens every 29 years. But we get a Pluto return also, which is about every 248 years. And, of course, not in one lifetime, but certainly in a country's lifetime. And the United States is coming into that phase. And in 2020, and this I find very encouraging, there's going to be a very powerful triple conjunction. Pluto has been at Capricorn since 2008, so it continues on. Saturn has recently moved into Capricorn, and then next year Jupiter moves into Capricorn. And in 2020, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto come together very closely together in Capricorn for the first time in about 800 years. So it marks the close of a major cycle, a major era, a major period in history. And I find that very encouraging that this is the death rattle of the patriarchy. This is the death rattle of the old paradigm. And Capricorn is very much about how we use power. It's an earth sign. It's a third collective earth sign. So it's about stewardship and sustainability and using the resources of the earth and the bounty of the earth for the good of all, not just for the few. Capricorn is about responsibility, knowing what is ours to do and the consequences of our actions, to be able to use power wisely, to become our own authority as to what is in integrity. It's the 10th sign of the zodiac, which is very much about becoming adults. I like how Swami Biyanananda puts it, becoming adults of God rather than children of God, you know, to own our power. He's a wordsmith.
That's
He's
great.
A wonderful, he's got a wonderful way of putting things. But essentially to come into our power in a healthy way. So Pluto has been already working its transformative magic. It came into Capricorn just as the big banking crisis was surfacing. You know, these things have been happening for decades, but Pluto brings light to what's been hidden in the dark and the unconscious. And so now Saturn is also adding its energy, and it's the planet that goes with Capricorn, so doubling the message on reclaiming our authority and power. And then Jupiter, which brings a visionary energy and an optimism and the potential to see new possibilities and seed new patterns, comes into the mix as well. So it's a very powerful combination that's coming. And as a long cycle, of course, it's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely in that transition time, and I think we're going to see things beginning to change for the better, you know, definitely, you know, shortly, if not right now.
Stephanie, I've been feeling intuitively that same thing for a while now. I keep getting this very strong intuition that there's not much more time before there's some kind of shift. And, you know, whether it's, I feel like it's, you know, the extreme corruption that we're experiencing with patriarchy right now is going to get revealed in a way that is so undeniable that it's going to make a huge shift in the way we live, the way government works, not just in the United States, but all over the world. When this happens, whatever this shift is that you're describing in the astrology, which could be in the next few years, it's going to be one of the things that really helps usher in this new paradigm of the heart. It's as though, like, I feel like, you know, the gift that the tyrant gives us is our own spiritual growth. And so this is what's happening. This is what's unfolding right now. All of our growth requires a tyrant of some kind. And so when this shift that you're describing starts, whether or at least it's already started, but when it really peaks and creates a significant shift, that's going to be a massive spiritual growth for us. It's going to be really like a birth, a major birth of the new paradigm. Does it feel that way to you from the astrology?
It does. I feel actually very heartened and very encouraged by that. Yeah, I sense that intuitively as well as the astrology. We're in the birth canal now. And we're in labor pains for sure.
It feels that way. And it is. I feel like it's probably going to get a little uglier before it gets better. There'll be moments where it's very, very challenging and it's really uncomfortable and, you know, like the birth pangs. And, you know, we go through these phases, like we were talking about on the call today, where we our belief is challenged. You know, it looks like it's getting worse, but the truth is, I feel like it's just going to be these moments, like eruptions, where it gets a little worse, but then, you know, it'll get a little better until this moment where there's something gives and there's a big birth.
You could think of, I think Leslie has put it in these terms of this downpour of light. You know, we're getting this increasing influx of cosmic energy as well as everything else going on. And that is shedding light on these things that have been in the dark for centuries, for you know, millennia. So yeah, nothing is more powerful than the light.
Yeah, beautiful.
And one of the key words that I keep hearing is hope. That you know, that we are to really focus on the hope. And it feels, as you're describing this, Stephanie, that, you know, we're holding and being held in a death and rebirth simultaneously. You're talking about the death rattle of, you know, the United States in their astrological configuration right now. And so for me, it feels like hospice. And if we can come into a state and place of hospice as the patriarchy comes to its end and there's this rebirth of heart-centered consciousness into the new, that it's not an either-or. It feels like the dark night of the soul at the same time as this rebirth is happening.
Yes, exactly. And we're doulas of the new age.
Doulas, there you go. I love it.
I love it. Great.
Beautiful.
Okay, here we go. All right, well, thank you, Stephanie, so much. And again, if anybody would like to be in touch with Stephanie and receive her newsletter, you can contact her at stephanie@ecoastrology.com.
Thank you, Brad, for letting me join you.
Oh, thank you. Anytime, Stephanie. We love having you. Thank you so much for your wisdom and your love.
I get you.
Thanks. And Barbara, is there anything else that you would like to say before we close out for today?
No, I think I just said it just to reiterate, stay in and with hope.
Beautiful. Okay, then. Well, let's do, we don't have time for a guided, a guided meditation, but let's take a couple of minutes. Why don't we take a couple of minutes to at least get quiet and center ourselves, and I'll say a little prayer for us to close out today. So I invite you to close your eyes again and just get comfortable and take a few long, deep breaths wherever you are. And just relax. Let go of any tension that we might have stirred up by our talking. Just breathe in the relaxation. And breathe out any stress. Continue breathing while I say this prayer for us. We thank you, Great Spirit. We thank you for this gift of today, the time that we've shared, the love that we've shared. We thank you for holding us in a bubble of light. And we close our circle now with gratitude. We ask that you please hold our hands and guide us along this journey, even in the difficult times, especially in the difficult times. Help us to have compassion for all the challenges that everyone faces on this planet. And help us to strengthen the witness so that we can be tied to the mast of the ship and we can let these challenges pass through us, these negative emotions that we seem to be bombarded by, especially from the media. And we ask for the gift of love. Please open our hearts. More than ever before. Now, let us know love, let us feel love, and let us become love. And so now I invite everybody to visualize all of us in a circle holding hands on this call all around the planet. And I invite you to put your heart right into the center of the circle and just merge your heart with everybody else's heart. And feel the love that we all share. Feel your spiritual community and feed light into everybody and receive light from everybody. So I offer my deepest gratitude to all of you for sharing your love today. And I know Leslie does too. And we all offer deepest gratitude to Great Spirit and all the beings of the invisible realms who have surrounded us with light and uplifted us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. And I wish you well. And I'm going to stay in meditation for a few moments. If you'd like to stay in meditation, we can meditate together for a little while longer. And otherwise, I look forward to seeing you here in 3 weeks. All my love to you, everybody. Bye for now.